You're listening to the public feed of Carefree Highway Revisited, which includes only a portion of this conversation. To hear the complete discussion, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or see the show notes for details.
Hey everybody, this is Mike. What you're about to hear is part two of my interview with Gary Luck as we discuss Dreamland from the Endless Wire album. The last episode was the first half of that interview. This is the second half. Hope you enjoy it.
The first guest of the evening is truly a poet. He's an artist. He is a friend and an inspiration to anyone who I think who has ever played the guitar or tried to write poetry. Would you please welcome Gordon Lightfoot?
Then it goes, so if you need me near you, you can do it if you choose. And I'm assuming that means, you know, you can take advantage of my offer to help you or to support you, but we're not talking about hooking up again.
I think you're right. I think that's a very, very good interpretation of that. The other interpretation that I had was, you can do it if you choose, is that you've got a choice whether you use drugs or not. You've got a choice whether you pick up the next drink or not. I'll be here for you whether you do it or not. You can do it if you choose. It's your choice. Mm-hmm. That was my interpretation of that.
Yeah, or you can choose to go the other way. You can choose to walk away from this. And this is in the late 70s, so the whole idea of recovery and rehab was still kind of in its infancy. I mean, there was Alcoholics Anonymous and things like that, but we didn't know as much as we know now about substance abuse and how to recover from it. So I think Gordon now, if he were asked about that song, he would probably say, it's not that simple. I mean, you can't just turn and walk away if you're that deeply into addiction. And if I'm not mistaken, she was into heroin and cocaine, and those are the worst of them. Cocaine, I'm told, is more difficult because you can kick heroin faster. But the point being that she certainly has to choose to get well. But as we know now, it's not just a case of I'm going to wake up and saying I'm not going to be an addict anymore.
Yeah, look, it must be really, really difficult. You know, I did do a little bit of study on Wikipedia, and I've read the Jennings biography, and understand that actually from about 1977 to 1982, she was really, really in the depths of despair with both heroin and cocaine. And in fact, I understand that the speedball that she mixed for John Belushi in March 1982, when he died from that overdose, was a mix of heroin and cocaine that she had brought to the party. It only occurred to me this morning, thinking about this interview that we were going to have, is that in 1982, she'd probably hit a massive rock bottom. It was also the same year that Gordon got sober.
Mm-hmm.
So there's sort of that connection in the same year that she'd sort of hit rock bottom. He decided he'd had enough and he was going to quit the whole thing and start living life as he really should.
Yeah, living it cleanly. And I don't know a whole lot about his recovery story, but we can talk about that another time on the show. You make me do what you want me to do, then you run the rules on me. And I almost thought what he was saying is that you change the rules on me. I mean, you get me to do something because I'm head over heels for you. And then you criticize me because I didn't do it enough or I did it too much. Or to use a football metaphor, you're going to move the goalposts. You know, so that I can't ever really make you completely happy.
Yeah, once again, I think it's a really, really good interpretation. I'm not particularly familiar with that phrase. We don't use it in Australia, as far as I know. It might be a Canadian thing, Mike. I don't know. To run the rules on somebody, I think you summed it up pretty well. I knew this was coming up, so I had to look it up. This particular quote, one of the urban dictionaries or something, was, to examine, scrutinize, or inspect someone to see if they are worthy.
Oh.
See if they are worthy. And I would say that she was setting all these goals for him or all these things for him to do. And then she'd be really, really critical when he didn't meet her sort of standards or he didn't measure up. And that must have been a hell of a strain on the relationship. But, you know, as they say, rules are rules. She might have been saying to him something like, don't do as I do, do as I say.
Yeah. And if she's not moving the goalposts for him, every time he jumps through some hoop, she has to reevaluate the relationship. And make him feel even more like, if I don't do what you want, then you're going to leave, or you're going to make me feel terrible, or this, that, or the other. That must have been extraordinarily painful for somebody who was that much in love with her. And I don't know if she did. I don't know enough about Kathy Smith to say whether or not she did that maliciously, or whether that was just her nature, or whether it was the addict mindset. But it is what happened. And I think that he really got burned by that.
He did. And also, it must have been terribly hard work trying to work your way through that relationship when those are the rules of the game.
Yeah.
If those are the rules of the relationship, then it's going to be really, really hard work.
At that point, I think it ceases to be love, honestly. I mean, at that point, you're dedicated to an idea. But if it's going to be that much work, how much tenderness is really involved? How much grace is really involved? And without having heard him talk about it in the context of this song, we don't know. But it certainly sounds like, as you said earlier, Gary, he got to the point where he was saying, I'm bankrupt. I have nothing emotionally left to give. And this is just going to be painful again if we continue to do this. So I have to walk away from it.
I think you're right, Mike. I think that, as you said, the love part was probably over and the relationship had just simply become transactional.
Yeah, it's a good way of putting it. Transactional. Yeah. You seem to be the wiser now. Could it be you've been deceived? Maybe she thinks that she's learned a lesson, or she's better off now, or now I can face the world, or now I've overcome this, or now I'm a better person. And maybe he's looking at her and saying, no, you've still got the addictive mindset. You're still up to your old tricks. Yeah. Leopards don't change their spots, whatever cliche you want to use.
Yeah, it's a really interesting phrase, that one. Could it be deceived? You seem to be wiser now. One other take that I had on it was that you seem to be wiser now. I'm not sure whether you really are or not. Have you come to terms with all these other things going on in your life? Have you come to the realization that the drugs aren't the answer? In fact, there's a deceit going on here. There's a substance that's deceiving you and leading you down a certain path. Let's hope that you can give it up. Let's hope that you wise up, because I really believe up to this point in time, you've been deceived. But it's really interesting that, as you said earlier, if that's the case, then Lightfoot, as we've said, was battling his own demons at the same time. And would he really be able to put that kind of a spin on it? I'm not sure. I think I like your interpretation better.
Thank you. I mean, I certainly did my best with it. And then he closes, and this wasn't in the printed lyrics, but if you listen to it, he says, anytime you felt like trying, you would cause my heart to break. There was too much toil in dreamland and too much love at stake. And that's where maybe he's clearing up just a little bit of the mystery here. There was too much to lose, and we would have completely destroyed each other if we had stayed together, or at least he's feeling like he would have been destroyed. It's not as enigmatic anymore, and he does that at the very end. And for all I know, he might have just thought of that in the studio and said, you know, let's keep it.
Let's keep it. It works. It rhymes. It's a great way to end the song. Or he may have, as you say, come to the realization that he's trying to sum it up in this phrase that if they stuck together, they simply would have just destroyed one another. Where he uses that other phrase, following on from, could you have been deceived? Any time you felt like trying, you would cause my heart to break. I thought that maybe he was saying to her, look, are you trying to give up or are you trying to shoot up? Any time you felt like trying, either to shoot up or to give up, it's going to be a disaster either way, because I know you're not going to succeed. I'm going to be brokenhearted by the whole damn thing. So let's just wrap it up now and move on.
Yeah. I mean, trying, we don't really know what she's trying, but
we don't.
But we do know that the upshot of it is that he's going to get his heart broken.
Yeah, exactly. And he didn't want that anymore. As you said, he'd been hurt enough that had they stayed together, sure, they would have destroyed each other completely. And he didn't want that. If he was in this other relationship with Kathy Kearney at the time, he just wanted to move on and try and clean up his own act, which, as you said earlier, it was still 4 or 5 years away.
Right.
Well, that's all the time we have for Here in the Public Feed. If you'd like to hear the rest of this conversation, along with all of our other extended and bonus episodes, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or at fmpods.com. You can see the show notes for details.